You're listening to Talking Heads. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. This hour on the programme, we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS as the countdown to the general election on September the 29th continues. And we're joined in the studio now by a challenger for the seat in Castletown, Colin Leather. Good afternoon, Colin, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stuart.
It's strange, this, because we've spoken a number of times on the phone when I've been looking for people to talk to about Castletown issues, because you are or were Castletown chairman, weren't you, the commissioners?
I've been chairman 5 times.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, so that's it. So you've got plenty of experience of local politics, but now you've decided to make the move to national politics.
Mm-hmm. I think that the experience that you get in local politics stands you in good stead when you go into the Keys. Because you've got a rough idea of how government works, and it really does help.
And why now? Why have you decided now to stand?
Well, I think I've got a lot to offer. 30 years of a commissioner is got to be some value to somebody. Yeah. I enjoy Castletown. I enjoy the island. And I think I can help to make both better.
And how are you going to do that? Because all the candidates are saying that they're standing because they want to put something back into the community or they want to make the island better. How are you planning to do that?
Well, first of all, let's take Castletown first. The town is desperate for car parking. There's been years and years and years of discussions about car parking. Not a great deal of help from government, I will say. But that is one priority that I would definitely push for Castletown.
But that's a bit poor, because our Chief Minister was Castletown MHK, so if anybody's got any political clout, you would think it was the Chief.
He was indeed, but the problem we've got in Castletown, the land is of great shortage, and the land that we had earmarked for car parking across the road from the Civic Centre, we wanted to buy, we wanted to compulsory purchase, we did not get the support from government on that, it is now flats, so that plot of land has now disappeared. So we've now got to work with all the agencies of government, and I think this is very important, work with all the agencies of government, because around the harbour for car parking, it's owned by Infrastructure, Harbours Department. The commissioners themselves have a plot of land, the old commissioner's yard, the gasworks yard. I definitely think could be utilised for car parking. To get the cars out of Victoria Road that Canada Life staff are now using, it's really silly to have cars parked outside of school, mums are trying to drop the kids off, and you've got cars parked along the road. Whereas if we could just move Canada Life 100, 200 yards up the road and offer them some space so their employees and anybody else that wants to pay for those spaces, people in Muir Street and things like that, we can provide some car parking then and try and ease the situation. Plus, manage the car parking. You've got to be able to manage the car parking. Get this turnover of cars going all the time so that somebody can come in and shop, have the hair done, whatever, get it sorted out that way.
But surely that's very much a local commission.
It's got to be led from government. It has to be led from government because government, through DOI, they have the whys and the wherefores of getting the laws in place and things like that, so you can do that.
Yeah. And do you think that that's important, that that's a real a clincher for Castletown? Because we're talking to all the candidates from around the island, and lots of people are saying that, you know, everything tends to be centred on Douglas, which I think is inevitable to an extent. But in terms of making Castletown a more vibrant place, is it just down to car parking?
Oh no, it's a town is everything. A town is not just shops, it's offices, it's dentists, it's doctors, it's advocates. You've got to make the town buzz. You've got to get people come into town for a reason. Yeah. And when they're there, they might do something else. They might nip into a shop. We lost our dentists. I would love to see a dentist back in Castletown. It doesn't sound a lot, but the dentist had the patients went 40,000 people pay for patient visits a year. Now, that is a lot of people coming into Castletown to have the dentistry done.
Sure. Do you think Castletown gets a fair crack? at things?
Not really.
Well, because, you know, when you think about it, and Castletown is a lovely place, you've got a castle for one, which exactly. Nobody else has got. Yes. Well, Peel's got one, I suppose. But you've got electric bollards there now.
Yes.
And you're not far from the airport. So there's an awful lot. You've got a lovely harbour. Castletown's got a lot going for it.
Castletown is absolutely fantastic. I think Castletown should be the Chester, the York, the Bath of the Isle of Man. That should be the jewel in Isle of Man PLC.
Yes.
This is where the Isle of Man can say, we have got this prestigious town. We are going to look after it. We are going to nurture it. And that's what regeneration is all about. The buildings are absolutely fantastic. And everybody that comes to Castletown say, isn't this beautiful?
Yeah.
It is. But it's not just beauty in a town. It's got to be vibrant.
Yes.
You've got to have restaurants. You've got to have concerts. You've got to have art galleries, things like that. Everything that puts a town together for the benefit of the people and the benefit of the island and the benefit of the visitors.
So clearly, if you're elected, then Castletown's going to be top of your agenda too.
Undoubtedly.
And I suppose to an extent, that's only the right and proper thing for a candidate.
Yeah.
But does that mean that you're going to concentrate on that to the exclusion of national issues?
Oh, good heavens, no. Because national issues will also help Castletown.
Yes.
We've got to get the economy steady. There's no point in laying people off work and paying them benefits, because in that situation they are not paying national insurance. We've got to keep as many people in work to keep the economy going around the island, and that is vital for the island. It's a small place, the island.
Are we going to be able to do that, though, Colin?
I think so.
Do you think so?
Yes, I really do.
Because
I
government income's down 40%, and a lot of that income is spent on salaries, isn't it?
Well, government income is spent on salaries, but government wastes a lot of money in other areas. So I would urge that government, I mean, they must have done it, but let's do it again. Mm. What can government do that maybe the private sector could do better?
Yeah.
Or what government could do without?
Give me some ideas of where the private sector might step in.
The private sector, I mean, the obvious one are things like the Villa Marina and things like that, that are probably leaking money.
Villa Marina, buses, airport.
Well, I wouldn't nationalise the buses. I wouldn't never ever privatise the buses.
Because
it is a public service. People rely on them. We've got an excellent bus service at the moment into Castletown and the south, a 20-minute bus service. Years ago, that would have been unheard of. If somebody had said to you, you are having a 20-minute bus service to the south, you would have said never, because we had an hourly bus service. That hourly bus service went to a half-hour hourly bus service. On Sundays, it was non-existent. It was a 2 or 3 hourly bus service. But now we have a 20-minute bus service, and we've got late-night buses at night.
But people would say, yeah, but an awful lot of these double-deckers that go past have only got one person on them, and that's the driver. So, I mean, can we keep on doing that?
You've got to. Because if you want people to use the buses, you've got to provide the service. If it's not there, they won't use it. They'll use the car. And we've got to encourage more and more people to use public transport. There's no point in building car parks in Douglas to be used just for people to use the car. You've got to educate people to use public transport.
Yeah, but you want to build car parks in Castletown.
Well, car parks in Castletown is different because we haven't got any. That's totally different.
All right, so not private. Privatise the buses, privatise the running of the Villa Marina, you think, because government shouldn't be doing that. What about the airport?
The airport, never. And neither the ports. We've got to have control of the ports. We've got to have control of our own ports so that we can say who uses them and who doesn't.
Well, yeah, we can, but we can't say for another 20-odd years, can we, because of the user agreement?
That's right, but for the steam cracket, yes, we've got the user agreement, but we've got an open sky policy at the airport. It's brought EasyJet in. Who might next coming?
Yeah.
We've got flights going into Europe now, vital for the Isle of Man, for the finance sector, etc., etc., and for people using it to go on leisure holidays. So vital that we can keep control of the airport.
So you decided to... How long ago did you decide to stand?
I've always had it in my mind.
Yeah.
I was going to make the announcement... eventually, as soon as Tony said that he was standing down. But I was heavily involved with Castletown Festival, very heavily involved in Castletown Festival. I'm the secretary. It takes a lot of organisation to put that on, a lot. And I didn't want any distractions to come while we were trying to put that on for the town and the island.
Yeah.
So as soon as we got that one out of the way, then I announced that I would be standing.
Might it work against you, the fact that you are seen as being supportive of Tony Brown, because he's not got a great reputation at the moment? Now, whether that's fair or not is a different thing altogether, but I think you're on record as being friends with Tony.
Yes.
So might that work against you, do you think?
We sometimes do not agree, and sometimes we do have heated discussions about
things. Do you
think
he's been a good chief minister?
I think a chief minister, in my opinion, the best chief minister was Miles Walker. There's no question about that in my mind. He set the standard. The last chief minister, Tony, he's had more problems to deal with than most has had. He's had the VAT, he's had the reciprocal health agreement, he's had foot and mouth, and he's had a lot on his plate for a chief minister. He's had more than all the others have. Having dealt with all that lot, I suppose it sort of detracts from other things.
I don't know about the foot and mouth, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I mean, isn't that the problem, though, with politics, that we are really at the behest of outside forces in the Isle of Man?
Of course we are.
And that any politician can be judged on not being proactive about things, but how they react to things.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to react, because we're living in a global society. We've got no option. You know, what happens in China will probably affect the Isle of Man next week. So it's things like that. You've always got to be ready to react to whatever is beneficial to the Isle of Man or detrimental to the Isle of Man. So you've got to be on the ball. The government has really got to be on the ball. He's got to have a huge commitment. It's hard times that we're going through now.
Yes.
And the officers, the civil servants, the politicians, they've all got to get right up to the bar, as they say, and be ready for anything.
How do you think the current government's done over the last 5 years?
Oh, in some ways, very well. The VAT agreement, I think probably there's no doubt about it. The British government are on the ball against the offshore islands.
I don't know that they're necessarily against us. They're just skint and trying to save money wherever they
exactly,
can.
Exactly, yeah. But they're trying to save money. And we have the VAT agreement, and people are saying that we should go and abrogate. I'm not a supporter of that because I don't think the island at this moment in time is in a position to abrogate. I think certainly our grandchildren might be looking at it quite seriously if that's the case down the years, because we've got to get the island more or less self-sufficient. That's vital for the island. We're a small community. Let's look after our own.
Yeah.
And self-sufficiency eventually.
Eventually, but not right now.
No, we couldn't do it.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads, and we're talking to Colin Leather, who's standing for the seat in Castletown, which is now a vacant seat, of course, because Tony Brown's retired completely. So, and have you been out on the door knocker so far? Have you been talking to people?
I've been talking to people around the town. There's not a lot of things cropping up, to be truthful. I think the general populace must be really happy. I mean, obviously, housing is a huge one. Because the housing market is totally stagnant for various reasons. A, there's not the mortgages around that there were before. B, there's not the social housing being built. We're absolutely fortunate in Castletown that we've now got Janet's Corner coming up to the last sort of stages of it.
And fantastic development as well. I was down there when it was being done.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that is, the people love those houses, and the government have done an absolutely fantastic job in them. It's nothing more than the tenants deserve, because they were living, in 1920, 30 houses that were not up to standard, coal fires in front and back rooms. And so now they've got central heated houses, they've got really nice houses, and that's the standard, I think, for every local authority house.
And what about the rent on them? Because that's a contentious issue. A lot of people, especially those of us who are private tenants, paying £600, £700, £800 a month, would love to be paying the amount of money that people are paying for council houses.
If you are in a social house, are you in there for a reason? And I can assure you, there is people in those houses would love to buy their own house. they would love to move on. And I can remember in the 1980s, when I was on the commissioners for a few years, we had houses in Farrants Park that were empty and no one to allocate them to. And because everybody had moved out to Ponyfields in Port Eyre and found houses where they were paying a mortgage that was around the same as their rent. There was a movement in houses. Now, sadly, we are waiting for people to either leave the island, or the lucky ones buy a house, or even people die, so that we can have that house for somebody else.
So would you see a lot more building done of
residential
houses?
Yeah, you have got to get this whole housing market moving. Yeah. You've got to get social housing moving. You've got to get rental housing moving, you know, buy to rent. That's a brilliant idea. And you've got to get purchase of houses moving. And you've got to go away through, because the housing market is totally stagnant, and that is no good to anybody.
Buy to let is a great idea, but a lot of people have lost their shirts on it in recent years, haven't they? Because and nowadays in the UK they're talking about getting an annual return of something like 1.5%.
But if you go back, you know, into the 40s and the 50s, there was a hell of a lot of housing rent, hell of a lot. I know most of my aunties and uncles rented a house rather than buying it.
So would you be for things like means testing? Because a lot of people are concerned that there are people in social housing who shouldn't be there, who've got big motorhomes and you know, villas in the south of France, and they're paying a subsidised rent.
I don't know any. I don't know of any Castletown tenants that have got villas in the south of France. Means testing is a horrible thing. It's a stigma for anything.
Is it? Because nobody would know about it necessarily, apart from the people involved.
Yeah, but I mean, means testing, you don't really get anywhere with it. I'm not a great fan of it. I can see where you're coming from. When my parents were alive, they were means tested for council poll tax.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege, and my brother had the privilege as well with me, to fill the form in. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And to put people through something like that is I wouldn't go for. So they're in social housing because they're in social housing. A lot of people in Castletown are in social housing because they don't want to leave Castletown.
Right.
They like living in Castletown.
And they've got no, they can't afford to buy.
They can't afford to buy. Yeah. If you're 50, right, and you want a mortgage, you can't have a mortgage.
Tell me about it.
Because you're too old.
Yeah.
Right. Mortgages are for the 20s and the 30s, right? Once you've passed a certain age, you'll never get a mortgage. So you are stuck in a... You might have a now gone up in your work.
Yes.
You know, you might have a better job and earning more money, but you still can't get a mortgage to be paid off in the time factor before you retire.
You've said that you want to provide good support for those in the community who need health and social care. Can we afford to keep giving such good service in those areas?
We have to. It's human nature.
So if we've got to save a big chunk of money, and we have got to save a big chunk of money over the next 5 years, where's it going to come from?
It's going to have to come from efficiencies, and you're going to have to prioritise and ring fence, as the buzzword is, ring fence education, because that's the island's future. We want our children to have, and my grandchildren, to have the best education that this island can give them. You want to look after the people in social housing, and you want to look after the elderly. Now, we provide things for the young ones, the primary school age, and we provide things for the old people, right? We do very little for teenagers, and everybody whinges about them. And, oh, them kids are kicking the ball in the street again, they're annoying me. Okay, when we were young, we played cricket in the street and we played football in the street. But we're in the 21st century now, and we've got to find something for these teenagers to occupy them.
So you don't agree with me then that they've actually got far more to do than we had when we were teenagers? I mean, we didn't have Xboxes and things like that. We didn't have as many youth clubs. It seems that there are so many activities for young people in the Isle of Man that I wonder why they complain so much.
Well, when I was a teenager and I was brought up in St Helens, just outside Merseyside, and we went to the Cavern every night virtually, and we went to the Iron Door, and which was another well-known Liverpool club. We watched the Beatles, we watched the Searchers, we watched Jerry and the Pacemakers and the like. And what people forget about those clubs, there was no alcohol served in them.
It
was Coke, and it was tea, and it was coffee, and Fanta, and hot dogs.
Yeah.
That was it. It cost you £2 to get in, and it cost you a shilling at lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
And you were seeing these groups, but it was a buzz, right? The kids had something to do. Now, the kids now have forming groups and things like that. We've got some damn good groups around the island, musical groups. So that's an outlet for them. But let's give them an outlet where they can play. Let's give them an outlet where people can come and listen to them. There's all sorts that you can do for teenagers. Don't ignore them.
What do you think you could bring to a new government in the Isle of Man? What special skills do you think you've got that are going to make the difference?
Communication. It's vital. You've got to communicate with your colleagues. You've got to communicate with government officers. And you've got to communicate with your constituents. You've got to listen.
Yeah.
And any politician that doesn't listen is a fool.
But, you know, if you're going to listen to people on the doorstep, all that we're all going to ask for is lower taxes and, you know, more freebies. So do you really genuinely get much from talking to constituents?
I think you should give people of the Isle of Man a little bit more credit than that.
I'm talking purely for myself.
The people of the Isle of Man are well switched on, let me assure you. And you come across somebody with an idea and I say, why haven't they thought of that? I had one the other day,
yeah.
Right? I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I think it's a good idea, but watch this space.
Oh, right. If it's a gravity sports centre on Snaefell, no, that was my idea.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's all about saving people, households, money. And, you know, every household is penny-pinching at the moment,
sure,
counting every penny. We've got to get more disposable income. This is the big thing, disposable income. If the people on the island have disposable income, they will spend it on the island.
Yeah.
And that will make everybody happier, make businesses happier, they'll employ more people, and so the merry-go-round
doesn't
goes
take an awful lot either of an increase in your salary to be quite happy.
No, it doesn't.
Since I gave up the cigarettes, I'm saving a fortune. And it's just, seriously, it's lovely to just have a few quid in my pocket on payday still.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference, that, doesn't it?
It does.
Obviously, with such a career in local authority politics, what do you think about the mix between local authority politics and national politics in the Isle of Man? Do you think that local authority reform needs to be looked
at again? Doubt. Yeah. The last three governments have chickened out of local government reform. So we're now going back 15, 20 years. Time for change one, time for change two, and then the last one with four local authorities. If local authorities are going to survive, you are going to have to give them responsibilities. When I first went on the commissioners, we were in charge of the roads, we were in charge of the sewers, we were in charge of the taxis, we were in charge of anything, right? The first thing we lost was our bylaws. They were taken off us, building bylaws. They came to Douglas. And I think you've got to... The ideal for me would be time for change too.
Yeah.
13 local authorities. That plus one of them
12
is
plus Douglas.
12 plus Douglas. Because it's very important that you identify yourself with your local authority, because if you don't, the whole community spirit is out the window, right?
But isn't the place so small that we don't really need 12 authorities?
Yes, you do. Because every district has its character, right? And, say, for instance, you hear people saying, I've got to go to Ramsey, I don't want to go all that way. I once remember, I used to do discos, as you know, and I did a New Year's Eve disco once in Mackold, and I was driving home in the early hours of the morning after finishing the disco, and I came to this sign, and it said Castletown, 29 miles.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, if I was living in St Helens now and somebody asked me to do a disco in Manchester, I would tell them they're not on.
Yeah.
So Ramsey is a long way, right? But that's the farthest you can go. But it's parochial, right? So everybody has got to recognise, you've got to know your politicians, because you can stop them in the street and you say, excuse me, I want a word with you. You've got to know your MHKs, excuse me, I want a word with you.
Do we need so many, though? Do we need so many commissioners, for example?
No, the commissioners you can reduce. Absolutely no doubt about that. I think probably Castletown will reduce its number of commissioners. It's not been finally decided yet, but we are talking about it in time for the 2012 elections.
And can't there be a bit more smart working? I know that an amount of it happens where authorities sort of pool resources to an extent.
Yes.
But it feels to me that we could do an awful lot more of that.
What, pooling things like bin wagons and things like that? We already work together with the community refuge tip. We always work together in the Southern Swimming Pool, right? So it's set. But people want control. I want control of the things that Castletown need, right?
Yeah, but is that you as a commissioner, because you as a candidate, or you as a member of the public?
People.
People don't want control, they just want to have the bins emptied.
No, I can assure you. We did a questionnaire once, or we decided to look at privatising the bin wagons, right? And we did the costings, etc, etc. And all hell broke loose. The people were up in arms. So local control is important. I want local control coming back to local authorities. First of all, first stage planning. Yeah. It would save a fortune in government if local authorities have first stage planning, because most of the plans, the small ones, windows, sheds, yes, fences, conservatories, you name it, yeah, they've all been taken out now. But you could, if you take out a planning, I mean, if you then bring in the next layer of non-contentious plannings.
Yeah.
We've got local knowledge. Yeah, the commissioners will pass it. You've got your planning, right? Then it goes to the second stage of planning. Then it would end up with the professionals in Douglas,
gotcha,
because it is contentious. And then you the appeals with the inspectors. So right, bring planning, first stage planning into the local authorities. Bring some of the work now that infrastructure would do. We used to have a grant scheme for A, B and C roads on the island to local authorities.
Yeah.
A roads were fully funded by the government. B roads were 75% funded for the local authorities, but the local authorities
so
did
more
them.
Powers for local authorities.
Oh, totally, yeah.
We're almost out, well, in fact, we're completely out of time, Colin, but tell the voters of Castletown why they should vote for Colin Lowe that on the 29th.
I hope they will support me. I've got Castletown up my heart, and I really would appreciate them to do that. And I promise that if I am elected, I will give my very, very best for Castletown, as I always have.
Colin Lowe, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Stuart.